Juneteenth is an annual holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. It has been celebrated every June 19th by African Americans since the late 1800s. For our June episode, we wanted to celebrate some of our diverse voices in the spirit of the Juneteenth holiday. Here's special guest moderator Ryan Wood with more information.
So I'm here representing the Shade Committee, and we wanted to take the time to recognize Juneteenth and provide some information about what it's about, you know, the importance of celebrating Juneteenth and how to specifically celebrate it or recognize it. To start, I wanted to kind of talk about it from an educational aspect. So you may ask the question, what is Juneteenth? Juneteenth, or June 19th, marks the official date of the end of slavery in the United States of America. Now, technically, on January 1st, 1863, Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which declared that all individuals held as slaves in the U.S. should henceforward be free. Even though this was declared by the presidents of the United States at that time, many Southern states that still supported slavery did not immediately comply. In the aftermath, the Civil War ensued, and fighting between North and South began, which also included the enlistment of close to 200,000 African American men. During that time, and as that war continued, slave owners from Mississippi and Louisiana began migrating to Texas. Their hopes at that time were to stave away the incoming changes as the war was specifically coming to the end, especially once Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered in Virginia, even though obviously there were certain, you know, rebels of sorts that continued to try to fight the fight for the South. Nonetheless, 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation and a month after the technical end of the Civil War, Major General Gordon Granger of the Union Army arrived in Galveston, Texas. His purpose was to proclaim the final issue of General Order No. 3, proclaiming that all slaves should be free from here on out, including the state of Texas. This date was June 19, 1865. The now freed African-American men and women finally had a date to rally around to celebrate their freedom from slavery, and that is what makes Juneteenth. You may ask, why is it celebrated, or getting into the importance of it? Obviously, the main importance is the freedom of slavery, but more importantly, it is a major step in progress within the United States of America. Plenty of laws in the past and present have been created to support the fight for equal rights for individuals of different races, ethnicities, religions, sexes, and so on. Nonetheless, these laws have not always been followed. Some of them have been changed. Some of them have been, you know, fought against. And those that don't abide by these laws do not always receive the expected punishment. There are situations where these laws aren't fairly enforced or equally enforced, or in some cases enforced at all. This day for African Americans in the United States represents a day of true freedom from slavery, a day where not only was a proclamation given, but it was also officially enforced. Getting more into how to celebrate Juneteenth, you can simply celebrate it by observing the holiday, understanding its meaning, putting forth an effort to progress America even further by fighting for equal rights, specifically for African Americans in this situation, but also for everybody as time goes on. Now, for more specific ways to celebrate it, you could take time / give time off at work and come together to recognize and celebrate the holiday. You can perform research, read books, to not only educate yourselves, but also educate your youth. You can use your right to speak, organize, and attend peaceful events to evoke change. Or you could even support, celebrate, and in some cases help organize a local Jubilee/ Juneteenth festival or parade through volunteer work. But most importantly, it's great to recognize this holiday, recognize the purpose of this holiday, but also take that recognition into action and continue to fight for equal rights for everybody in this specific situation, African Americans. In the conversation of Juneteenth and diversity in the workplace, we felt it necessary to reach out to employees in our company to talk about this topic. Today we have Ritesh Ravel, Ruben Martinez, and Brooke Reynolds. This segment is also meant to celebrate people of multiple different backgrounds within and outside of the workplace. We want everybody and everyone to have a chance to have a voice. With that said, we'll introduce our next guest. Our next guest is Ritesh. Ritesh, would you like to formally introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. My name is Ritesh Ravo. Here at Harmony Media in the finance department. I've been here for about 7 years now, and it's a pleasure to talk with you today.
It's a pleasure to talk to you as well. To start, we wanted to see if you had any opinion on any notable changes that you've seen so far during your experience within your industry, whether at Harmlin or at other companies in other situations.
Sure. So I think in terms of diversity, things have certainly started to change. I think, you know, previously, several years ago and before that, I think all companies and employers understood diversity is important. I think they understood it brings a lot to the table, but there wasn't necessarily a structure around that process. So I think what we've seen in the last, especially 2 to 3 years, I think is a, you know, a focus by corporate leadership and hiring managers to make sure there's a set process in place. So I think that's kind of one of the key things I've seen change, and you know, hopefully I'll continue to move forward.
Are there any other structures or changes you've seen in the structure within the company as people are hired to try to, you know, get more diverse people involved?
Yeah, there's some ways you screen candidates. I think that's changed. You know, there's a lot more talk about kind of screening blind candidates. So you're not necessarily seeing them or their name, or you're really just seeing their qualifications. You know, most people, they're not openly biased, but everyone has just kind of, when you're hiring, a lot of people tend to hire people that are like them, which I think can lead to diversity issues. So I think it was some of the changes that are taking place just in acknowledging that and kind of opening your mind on your candidate pool, I think that can help you bring a much more diverse workforce. So that's, I think another key point of that.
What specifically do you want to see, if you have any opinion on the changes in the future within the workforce?
Things are going in the right direction. These things, unfortunately, sometimes move a little slowly. So I would like to see the pace being picked up. But yeah, I can see, I think we're making a lot of good moves here at Harmon. And then across the corporate world, I think there's a much bigger push to make sure these processes and ideas and thoughts are getting attention and getting actual corporate leadership behind them to push these ideas. So I just really like to continue to see that trend in that direction.
What do you think employees themselves, whether it's a manager or just an assistant or an analyst or any of that sort, what do you think we can do for each other and ourselves to become more diverse over the next few years?
At any level, you can contribute to your company's diversity initiatives. So it could be as simple as maybe teams just sharing their diverse backgrounds and celebrating holidays or whatever it is. Or it could be existing diverse employees. Maybe they they certainly would have a more diverse pool of friends and family and things like that. So they can maybe bring those resumes into the hiring decisions to help to expand our pool. Yeah, I think any level, you can certainly chip in, and obviously managers too, the ones that are hiring, they can look at things differently. Any role you have at the company, you have an opportunity, I think, to participate.
Could you please share something that no one would guess about you? It could be at a work-related level or even a personal level.
Grew up in South Jersey. I went to school at Virginia Tech. I started in engineering, actually, then switched over to business, or finance specifically. And after school, I moved back home, then moved into Philly. Worked for some financial firms for several years, and then made my way over to Harmony Media.
And what made you change from engineering into finance?
Sure. So I was initially, I always was interested in math and science, but as well in the business world and investing especially. When I went to college, I was kind of geared towards more, I love problem solving, so math, science. I want to go to mechanical engineering. I was there for about 2 years in that program. And while I was there, it just did not seem like it would be a good fit for me for the future. So at that point, I decided to switch over. And I think that was the best decision I ever made.
Was there any professors or maybe any other colleagues within college that helped you make your decision? Or were you just like, no, this is not for me. I'm gonna move into finance.
Yeah, I think it was more of, I always had interest in finance, but for whatever reason, I didn't start out in that path. Yeah, as a kind of the stereotypes go there, it might be kind of true, but with Indians especially, we're a lot of engineers and kind of, my dad was an engineer, my brother was an engineer, family, friends were engineers. So I kind of went down that path initially. But in the end of the day, I just decided it wasn't right for me and made this as a switch and never looked back.
We wanted to call out that we've all been inspired by someone in our life in one shape or another. This, of course, can be at professional levels or even personal levels, but nonetheless, there have been people in our lives that have impacted us for the better. If you don't mind, would you be able to share who or in general, what has inspired you in your life the most and why?
Sure. So I definitely have to say it's my parents. They both immigrated to the U.S. in the 60s, and they went to graduate school here. So they got their master's here, initially in Michigan, and then Indiana, and then we moved to New Jersey. So I think just their work ethic and what I could see them do on a daily basis, make sure they're providing for my brother and myself and making sure we have great opportunities that they didn't have. That's really what's inspired me and kept me going and make sure I'm working hard every day and doing the things I need to do and doing it the right way.
No, that's great. No, I can 100% relate to that. I feel the same way with my father. He's been working at the same company for 20 years and, nonstop growing and growing. And, I kind of take after him in some way. So I could definitely relate to that. And our last question that we have for you is that, what is your approach to understanding the different perspectives of your colleagues that have different backgrounds?
I think it's really always just understanding everyone has a different journey in life, and those journeys bring you different perspectives. So if you're always able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and see what they're going through or see the way they're looking at something, I think it's always important. There's different subtleties that people might take for granted, but if you can understand why someone's doing something, then it helps you, form a much more cohesive group and you can accomplish so much more. So that's kind of, the basic way I look at it.
No, I 100% agree. It's this world's ever changing and will continue to change. And as we become more knowledgeable, it's necessary to understand everybody else's backgrounds, which not only leads to just a better community, but also a better work ethic with people. So yeah, that's a great point.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone's individual experiences bring a much more greater collective to the table.
We want to thank you so much for sharing your experience. As we mentioned, it's good to hear from people from all different types of backgrounds, ethnicities, races, religions, so on and so forth, since we are all one cohesive unit. So we want to thank you again for, sharing your experience.
Yeah, my pleasure, Ryan. It's great speaking with you.
Our next guest is Ruben. Ruben, would you like to formally introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm Ruben Martinez. I'm part of the Reporting Analytics team. I don't know what else I need to introduce myself with, but I went with that.
That's fine. And how long have you been working at Harmland?
I've been working at Harmland for 5 years, started in 2016, the day after MLK Day, actually. It's a really fun story. I actually went, they scheduled my start date on MLK Day. And then the Sunday before, it's just like, hey, by the way, we forgot. We scheduled on Monday, so we're coming on Tuesday. I was like, what a great time. Already on a good foot. So, no, it was a fun, memorable first day already.
Nice. Nice. We wanted to ask you, what are some of the notable changes that you've seen during your experience within the media industry, or at the least at Harmland?
Coming into the media industry, that was not my, major going into college. I came from I was a math major. I'm a computer information systems minor. So I was like a STEM major for what I am. So it's interesting to see how rapidly the company in general has gone and growing. I've grown just as much as the company has. So it's kind of interesting to see that it's tailored to me. The way that Harmland has set themselves up is that I'm able to grow and tailor my abilities to what the company needs. And I think that's kind of interesting to know that they're adaptable and flexible just as me. The logic and tech abilities within it is kind of interesting and what gets me going and drives me.
I agree. I mean, I've only been here for 2.5 years, but I definitely see myself grow from the quote unquote little boy in my first year to where I am now. So,
Ryan, you're 6'4". You are not little.
In my mind, I'm not. how do you see the industry changing in the future, or what do you think that companies, employees, or the industry itself can do to make changes and make things more diverse?
I'm an avid Twitter user, so I scroll through that, and to see people promote other people's work of different races, genders, and it's great to see that we're all trying to support each other, knowing that it's been a recently rough few years kind of thing, and totally, no, that is what it is. But I think that it's great to see people support each other like that, and that, you know, you want to hear from different people. Like, you kind of get the same thing of, like, as a guy, like, sure, I feel comfortable with guys, but it's also, you know, better to get someone, a different person's perspective that isn't like, you know, one of us. So it's always like, it's always a unique experience. And really what's crazy about Harmland is that our company is about, I think it was like 60-40 split between, like, you know, females and males in the company, which is, you know, that's interesting to me. And the fact that, like, she's the female CEO of the company. And, you know, it's crazy to see that, like, that has stayed true now, that we are very diverse and that we, like, again, we support a lot of females. We are hiring different people from different backgrounds, which is great to see. And we're trying to be flexible. And, you know, recently the company has done, you know, diversity trainings. We need to kind of, like, you know, get that idea out there that, like, no, we need to learn. We need to be better. We need to, like, understand people from different backgrounds. And I think that, you know, we are doing better as a company. And within the industry, like, that just has to be. It's just, like, we have to listen to other people. We have to kind of, like, you know, also promote them. We know that, like, they are voices that aren't heard, and they aren't heard as much. So you need to kind of, like, prop them up and say, like, hey, like, I hear you. I want, like, you know, you have fantastic ideas. Like, you are, like, a colleague of mine. So, like, let's promote each other and, like, see ourselves do better and, you know, go just as far.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And we had a similar conversation with Ritesh, where we're talking about just hiring more people of diverse backgrounds, you know, different genders, races, sexes, ethnicities, so on and so forth, and understanding where they come from and how important that is. So that's a really good answer. To promote some diversity, more diversity, and learn more about each other, we would like to ask you something about yourself.
I'm a first gen, like, college degree. No, I graduated first in my family, and, like, that was, like, a struggle for them. It's being interesting being, like, the first in the family. Another thing that I did while in college is that I went to a Ronald E. McNair scholarship program.
Oh.
Basically, if you want to do postgraduate life in school, this was, like, for basically for any low income level, underrepresented, like, you know, backgrounds. You know, they were able to kind of, like, support you and give you a stipend to, like, follow a research, endeavor into that. And so I met with somebody in Princeton. So we kind of did, like, a project, but it was kind of interesting to see, like, you know, talk with somebody and, like, get to know somebody and, like, work with somebody. No, I found it very interesting to do something like that too. Go through college and then get more experience doing different things and leadership things within that. So
yeah.
It's interesting.
That's cool. Yeah. No, Princeton must have been a jam. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it was a lot of fun.
Would you mind, if you're comfortable, sharing who has inspired you in your life the most and why?
I'm going to give a cliche answer, and it's a shame, but I really couldn't have done this without my parents, though, you know, because I've always done good at school. Like, they were just like, you do good in school, you can do whatever you want. I was like, great, that's easy. So basically, I was able to, like, play sports whenever I wanted to. If they wanted to buy me something, you know, like, I was just like, hey, like, can I get something like this? And they're like, sure. We'll figure it out. So, like, it was always, like, yeah, tough struggle. They worked a lot, you know, obviously, like, you know, they had to pay for, like, schooling. I went to Catholic school, so I had to pay tuition there. So, like, that was rough because, like, my brothers went to public school and, you know, then they had to pay for college. Like, that was not great. I mean, I did get a scholarship to kind of, like, have that, but, like, still, you have to, like, pay for that, you know, for 4 years. And so I think, like, for them to, like, you know, put a lot in line for me to, like, get me a good education, trying to get a good life from them. Like, they worked hard. Like, my mom was an executive administrative assistant at Comcast. And then my dad was an auto mechanic. So, like, very laborious, like, you know, intense jobs that they were just, like, all hours of the clock, just busy. My dad's from El Salvador. Like, he immigrated from there to DC, then to, like, my hometown in Pottstown and Narstown. And then my mom's grandma came from Puerto Rico, and then they lived in Narstown all their life. So that's where she grew up at. So, like, you know, I have a very, like, close-knit family of just, like, this is, like, their experience coming from, you know, like, a very different culture and just trying to, like, get into the American, like, way of life. And yeah, it's a lot of work. It definitely is. But you should be able to get to that. And, like, as long as you work hard, you get there. And so I think, like I said, like, I needed to, like, work hard. So then I feel like I fulfilled their goals. But at the same time, like, it's self-fulfilling as well to be able to, like, I'm able to do what they're doing and better. And, like, that's the goal. It's just, like, I want to make my life better. I want to make their life better. So if they need help, I can help them whenever they need to. So I find that to be, like, they're, like, yeah, my role models in general. It's just, like, I got to, like, look up to them. It's I'm lucky. I'm just lucky, you know, having both parents, like maybe they're separated or maybe like what, like passed away kind of thing, you know? So like I said, like not everybody has that. And I get that. So like, it's one of those, it's like, it's a struggle. So you just have to like, make sure that like you, you know, you get to what you need to, you know, with what you have.
Yeah, no, yeah. We talked about a similar thing with Ritesh, where he said his parents were, you know, his inspiration. And so it's good to hear that coming from you, that your parents have inspired you and really put you in a position to do what you wanted to do today.
Absolutely. Nah, you got to love it. Parents' love is everything you need.
Yeah. Well, our last question, what is your approach to understanding the perspective of different colleagues in different backgrounds, whether it's been at Harmland or at other places?
My approach in general is just the treat it this way you should be able to treat it. Like, it's one of those that like, I don't know what people are going through. There could be something that like they're going through a tough time. That's why they're acting out, or that's why they're acting differently. Like, just, you know, help them out. Like, you don't know what's going on. So like, just treat them like, again, like how you want to be treated. Like, it's the truth. It's honestly about like how I, you know, I try to live myself is that like, you know, just be nice to somebody. Like, it could be the light of the day. And, you know, obviously like if they're in a down place or if they're in a good place, that's okay. Regardless, you should still be nice to them. She's having a hard time communicating back. So like, how would I make her life easier? Like, should I write things out? Can I like, you know, make a process easier for them to understand and get useful knowledge from like the work that I produce? So like, I think it's more or less that like, you're not going to pigeonhole yourself or like have tunnel vision with other people. And like, you're just going to produce bad work if you're going to like, if you do that to yourself and like limit yourself. So I think understanding that like, you need to listen to different voices. You need to kind of understand different viewpoints to like make yourself better, as you know, personally and you know, through work. People have different perspectives from different points of views. You don't know. You're just gonna do shoddy work if you do that to yourself.
Learning how other people do their work and understanding their background, and like you said, like understanding what they may be going through, and then as a leader, understanding how you can help, just makes it not only just the right thing to do. You know what I mean? It is, you know, but it's also just a way to help enhance your work experience and enhance your work. So no matter what perspective you're looking at it, it's a purposeful thing to do, to learn about people's different backgrounds any way you can and any respective way you can. Well, that's all the questions that we had. We thank you so much for being on this podcast and answering these questions. And we're happy to have you.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate your time as well as your effort into this and getting to know me. Appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you. Our next guest is Brooke Reynolds, so we would like to welcome her. Brooke, would you like to formally introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name's Brooke. I'm here at Harmland for just over 5 to 6 years now at this point. They all seem to blend together. Been right at home.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, we're glad to have you here on this podcast. To start, we wanted to know if you have seen or experienced any notable changes during your experience within the media industry or within Harmland itself.
I've been in the business for over 15 years, so it's changed a lot. When I first started as a media assistant, there was a company called Overture that used to lead paid search. And you could literally log into a database and see who was bidding on every term and see the price they were paying for it. And so you could actually be sneaky and try to jam them by like bidding just under their max bid so that they could pay the most for the traffic. And now we live in a space where we have dynamic bid strategies and updates that are happening on a routine basis that happen so quickly, like even faster than I can blink. And so with the introduction of AI and the growth of campaign management platforms like SA360, it has shown that, you know, it's a lot more digital and automated. Which has allowed us to, number one, increase our scale and capacity. But I've also found that it takes a real strategic planner to be behind the scenes and making sure that we're pulling all the right levers. In terms of just overall media landscape, a lot has changed in the past 15 years.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I'm interested in what you said about paid search. Me being on the paid search team, it would be very, very helpful to see what other people are bidding on and, you know, making our decisions based off that. So it's interesting to see that it was like that at one point, but now it's significantly different. Yeah, regarding diversity, how do you see the industry changing in the future? Or what can companies, employees, the industry itself do to become more diverse, in your opinion?
I think exposure and mentorship is a huge factor in making sure that we improve the diversity within our community. It's been an issue for years. I can tell you that when I went to school at Penn State and I got a degree in advertising and PR, there were very few people in my classes that looked like me. There were even less people in my classes that looked like you, Ryan, as a Black man, I'm assuming, not necessarily.
That's correct.
So, you know, those types of things can be overwhelming and daunting and could actually scare people away from the business. And so having people who, number one, are actively working and seemingly successful in the field makes it a whole lot of attractive. Making sure that people who are active in this field are going back to their colleges and even their high school. True story, I was inspired to go into advertising because at my senior year career day, there was a guy who came in and said he was a PR agent. And I had never heard of it before, but he seemed smart, savvy, knew what he was doing, and sold me on the dream that I could one day be Allen Iverson's press agent. Like, I thought I was going to be rich. He was always doing something. So that one interaction, and like, it's not like I had like an hour long lunch with him. Like, literally that one interaction sparked an interest in me that had been building over time. And so I think making sure that people who are actively involved in this business right now and are people of color to continue to use their voice to be able to kind of broadcast the fact that, hey, this is an opportunity for us to be creative, to be smart, to be strategic, to be able to grow and thrive and have financial benefits and things like that that kind of go along with helping you enjoy the work that you do, I think is a great thing. And I think that will help. I do think that also representation matters. So the more that we're able to see those people of color reach and maintain high levels of influences within the company, our director of search is an African-American man, actually of Jamaican descent. So like there's variations to this thing. We mentioned Ritesh, totally different, certainly needs to be lauded and show that there is a larger, more global community that we need to represent and making sure that those opinions, those ideas get into the larger rooms that make the decision that impact the larger company.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. You know, that's a conversation we've been having with Ritesh and Ruben, where it's absolutely necessary to understand each other, you know, not only just in general for life, but also for the workplace. It just creates a better environment. So that's wonderful that you said that.
For sure.
To promote diversity and learn more about each other, we would like to ask you something about yourself. If you feel comfortable, can you please share something no one could guess about you?
So one thing that people are often surprised about, and this shows up in both my personal and my professional life, but I'm actually extremely shy. Extremely shy, like struggle, like to want to approach people, and especially a smaller group. I think I do very, very well one to many, and I do very decent one on one. But small groups make me very overwhelmed. It's just a thing. It's hard for me to be here or all the filler language. You can tell I'm uncomfortable. So you can see that being a little bit shy in this business can be a struggle, especially when you sit on different boards or you're in different committees that your job is to be able to kind of show up and present a good face and sell the agency or its services or even yourself in some instances. And so I constantly battle that. I've had a lot of experience. My sorority did a good job of breaking me out of that, knowing how to turn on when you need to. Thank you, Delta Sigma Theta. These things are helpful in terms of building experiences that make you feel a little bit more comfortable for trying to put yourself out there the next time. But I will say at every interaction, there is this moment of hesitation, and I'll even be honest, fear that happens when I have to have a conversation or know that I'm being introduced in a new situation. It's always about trying to fill yourself out and fill the room. And I eventually get it, but my natural instinct is to stay in the corner and hide.
No, I completely understand that. I've gone through some sorts of anxiety myself. I've done stand-up comedy and the first few times it's like, oh man, I don't want to be on the stage. But I wouldn't, to tell the truth, I wouldn't be able to tell. I mean, you've been doing absolutely amazing here, you know, and you've done better than me. So that's awesome that you're able to overcome that. Yeah, no problem. Can you please share who has inspired you in your life the most and why?
I can't say the most because I am literally a combination of about 15 to 20 different individuals. Like, there is no one person outside of God and Jesus that is solely responsible for who I am and who am I, I'm developing to be. And that's actually a key point because, like, at 40 years old, I'm still growing. Michelle Obama said it best, I'm becoming. And that's always a new level to kind of aspire to and continue to grow. And as I continue to have higher successes in my career, as my daughters continue to grow, parenting at different levels, it changes. You find out different things about yourself. So I think I've seen a lot of other women do really great things. When I think about professionally, Joanne Harmelin, Mary Meter, them, they're able to kind of showcase the fact that you can leave a legacy and still have a family, still have a husband, still continue to grow, be smart, be savvy, the focus on relationships. Those will build returns that not necessarily show up in your bank account, but can give you longevity over time. I think those are incredible. I had a mother who showed that, like, it's important for you to serve your family. It's important for you to serve your community and be willing to help and be willing to roll up your sleeves. Just don't sit on the sidelines pointing out all the issues. Be willing to jump in and be a part of the problem, be a part of the solution. My aunt shows me that you can create your own path. You don't necessarily have to do it the way everyone else has done it. Some people didn't go to school. Some people did not, you know, start out at this particular organization to be able to climb to the highest heights, but you can kind of forge your own path. And that's been totally important for me because my life kind of did some zigzags and things of that nature. And so it allowed me to be able to find out what was successful for me. It didn't necessarily have to marry up to reaching a specific title within a given time frame or reaching a specific salary level at a specific time frame. I found a way to kind of really create my own definition of success as it relates to Brooke Reynolds and what I need to do and what makes me happy. So those people have been important. But then, like, I have a best friend who's amazing. And, like, she shows me that you can have many, wear many hats and throw on your business side and still be out there learning how to stretch your own comfort zone as we continue to age and mature and still trying to do some of the things that we did when we were younger. So, you know, it's not just one person. I'm always inspired by the people that I work with. There's a guy on my team. His name is Ethan Giles, and he is amazing. And he brings in a lot of fresh energy and he's doing different things. And so, you know, it allows me to be able to kind of tap in with him. I look forward to our strategy sessions because I'm like, what are you doing? And how did you do this? Because I was opening up this spreadsheet and literally it was the struggle bus and I can't have that happen. So can you help me? So it's a lot of different people that kind of feed into who I am and help me continue to grow and learn and want to push harder and do more.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing answer. And we, with Ruben and Ritesh, we talked about our parents being a pivotal point, but I will have to admit there are situations that I've gone through very similar to yours where I have a best friend who is just moved to Chicago so we can continue to do stand-up comedy. You know, I've taken a lot from him and, different members of my family, different experiences in my life. And I think it's very important what you said about, you growing personally and everybody being involved in that. As you probably know, like, African-American children in certain areas may not have that, that support, or they may have the support, just not enough time, or there may be so many negative things around them. So to, be able to support or to have support from multiple different ways is very beneficial in our lives. So, yeah.
I mean, always being willing to look back and raise that hand to lift someone up is hugely important. I look at, even how I got into this business, it's very different. Mm-hmm. Like, the level of professional African-American people in my community was not a high number at all. Like, And when I was growing up, if you worked for the post office, were a teacher, or had a government job, you were doing the thing, Whereas my daughters, they are growing up in a whole different level of network and community, either through their school or through like my school ties, either Penn State or LaSalle or the sororities, even like, and that's a whole divine nine. I'm part of Delta Sigma Theta, but my daughter's godmother, she's a member of Zeta Phi Beta. So like we have a larger network that we can tap into. And they're seeing people whose mothers are judges and they're able to get internships from there. And they don't necessarily have to take the lumps that I did. One of the greatest things was having a cousin who decided to get a degree in media and to be able to pass along her resume and say, here's a person I think could be the great candidate for you to consider for this particular role was such a, like, I mean, my heart almost burst out of my chest because it's just a great opportunity to be able to kind of say, hey, you don't have to crack through this door because I can hold it open for you. And I didn't have that. Like, I graduated with a degree in a field that I enjoyed and had no experience in. I spent 2 years doing externships, which are basically internships that you don't really get paid for. And like, and on top of having student loans and all that other kind of stuff and being able to deal with those challenges. In fact, I'm still paying for Penn State. And so like these things are the extra lumps I had to take, but she doesn't have to take that. She didn't have to graduate with that. So it's allowing us as a community to get better because instead of just kind of trying to figure out how I can get to the next level, I'm also trying to think about how I can make it easier for my cousin or my daughters or your cousin or daughter to also be able to kind of walk through that door a lot easier.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, community growth is absolutely important and it's good to see things like that happen. I hope to do that once I get older and hopefully my cousins.
You can do that now. I'm sure you got a cousin now. Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody that sees you now and say, what's this search thing? How does it work? And you can just show them. Like, it starts with those small kind of conversations, in my opinion. Like, every interaction is something that you can learn and grow from. And it has allowed so many, like, you don't know exactly what's that key moment that's going to inspire someone. So make everyone count. Every interaction.
Oh, that's a wonderful advice. That I'll definitely take that on for myself. I guess our last question is, what is your approach to understanding the perspectives of colleagues from different backgrounds, whether here at Harmelin or other places you've worked at?
I think first and foremost, you have to be open to recognizing that there are other perspectives than yours and that they have value. I think that's important. But what has truly allowed me to get to know people that didn't necessarily look like me or didn't have my same background is actually seeing them outside of the professional environment. Like once you are able to kind of connect with people, they start sharing about their families and like their experience and their history. You show up at their wedding, you are at dinner, if that's like a COVID safe thing, depending on what the environment is at the time. In social gatherings, you tend to learn more about a person. When they let you in, you're able to learn more. I think, you know, a lot of times in the professional world, we have a veneer because we want to make sure that people think the best of us and that we're moving toward the goals and that we're performing and that we're delivering. But I was talking to a person who I was recently assigned to manage that I didn't have that much of experience with. And I told her, you know, part of this is going to be talking about your career path and what you are doing in terms of your account work and things of that nature. But then I also want to know what else is going on in your life and what's important to you, because there's a lot of things that go into how you show up at this job every day. And unless I know what some of those factors are, I'm not going to be able to, number one, be able to coach you and guide you into the next phase of where you're trying to go. And so I think being able to get outside of the work environment and in more social settings, which again, even for me, I already shared, can be overwhelming and daunting. But I do think it's how I really got to understand other people's experience. And that's also how I've been able to expand my child's view of the world and community. When we go over a colleague's house that might not look like ours, or it's in a different neighborhood, or the foods that they eat are different and we're just trying things. These are the experiences that happen when you step out of just those professional guidelines or barriers and you're able to take it to a personal level and be able to understand who a person really is and who and where their heart really lies.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. And you know, we've talked about this and we talked about kind of understanding employees and people through the workplace, but I never considered taking it outside, which I think you're 100% correct. That is the best way to really experience them with the outside. Like you said, the workplace is a workplace. It's its own world. But we live in a real world, and experiencing these people in the real world will help you connect with them. So that's, I never actually thought about that. So thank you for mentioning it.
It's challenging to build those connections and build that sense of community in this current environment that we're facing. But I think that we have different committees, and they're here at Harmelin. There is a natural desire to build community within employees and getting us outside of the buildings that we reside in or used to reside in to work. For me, it wasn't necessarily the actual event that allowed me to really get to know my colleague. It was more so the drive out or, you know, when we're alone or you're traveling or somewhere. I think that's where you kind of get it a little bit more in terms of being able to kind of let your hair down, be your real self, as opposed to like, okay, we're going to a basketball game and you show up at the game and then you feel like you're still kind of on. But a lot of times it's in that car ride, if you decide to like go with somebody or carpool or be able to kind of introduce yourself to a group that you haven't been with before by going to a table of people that you don't know and introducing yourself or something like that. I think that's how you get the most out of it.
Definitely. Well, I thank you for this absolutely wonderful conversation, Brooke. That's all the questions that we had. This has been absolutely amazing to hear your voice. Yeah, I just want to thank you again. This is great.
No problem. I'm glad to be able to have the opportunity. And thank you so much for spearheading this and having the diligence to make it actually happen.
No problem. Thank you.
Now here's Greg to ask Ryan a few questions.
So Ryan, you've been working with the Shade and the Cares Committee to help raise awareness of the various cultural events and milestones within Harmelin and really start to celebrate all of the people who are participating in the future of this company. You know, Ruben's talked a lot about how we want to make sure that we're acknowledging our contributions, that we're participating in each other, that we give back what we expect to get. So I'm curious, kind of as the person who's driving this forward here, you know, what brought you into this conversation? What are the changes that you're seeing in our industry that are giving you this opportunity to really reshape Harmelin Media?
Well, I think the most important thing is the company's actions and determination to learn more and to accept other people. Obviously, I'm young within this media industry. I've only been working in this industry for 2.5 years, but in experiences throughout different industries and different jobs, the idea or the care to understand different perspectives and recognize certain months, holidays, so on and so forth, has been barely any to none. You know, the fact that Harmelin has done diversity training and the fact that Harmelin has, you know, worked with us to celebrate Juneteenth, a holiday that's not even technically a federal holiday yet, I think is just showing, you know, general growth in the right direction. I think most importantly with Harmelin is that they feel that this is just the start. You know, I think if you see a lot of other, you know, obviously we're not in every company, but if you see a lot of other companies, they just do a basic amount to kind of, you know, qualm people's needs for diversity. For instance, Pride Month, you see a lot of companies just kind of slapping a rainbow on a logo and then calling it a day. Whereas, you know, Harmelin itself is trying to actually say, hey, here's what we want to do, here's what we're doing, and if this is not good enough, please let us know, because we're open and we want to do more. And I think that's a change that we're seeing through Harmelin, hopefully being seen through the rest of the media industry, and hopefully we're seeing through all business in general as time goes on.
So as we've kind of talked in this podcast about Harmelin and its culture, we land on the fact that we're a people-oriented culture that's not just about, you know, the job we do, it's about giving people a career, giving them something to be proud of, to provide for their families and develop as individuals. And you touched on the caring culture here. So the point that I kind of want to go to next is this idea of authenticity. A lot of companies would just signal to the group, go and make sure that we're recognizing these key dates or we're saying the right things. What is it specifically about the changes we're making here that lends that authenticity, that gives you that opportunity to really make a difference in terms of how we're operating as a culture?
Well, I think it's the breakdown of what you're doing specifically. You know, we are working on this podcast, for instance. You know, this in itself is creating authenticity. It's not just some basic information piece. We are sending an educational email out, but that is more than just a simple, hey, this is Juneteenth, recognize it. You know, we're giving information on what it is, you know, different ways to celebrate, so on and so forth, you know, different ways to a petition to sign, for instance, that will help, hopefully help turn it into a federal holiday, you know, books to read about African-American culture. You know, we're getting into the specifics of how to celebrate Juneteenth, which is very, very important. You know, we're also planning on a trip to the African-American Museum of Philadelphia with everybody. You know, doing these specific things is extremely important to make sure that it is authentic and sure that you actually care and to actually take action to recognize these holidays and support people of different backgrounds.
And that's been consistent throughout my time here. The Harmlands have always been the first in line to give us time to support the causes that are closest to us. And we think of nonprofits, we can give back to the community, and now we can extend that to recognition of Juneteenth and again, the events that you have coming in the week. So I guess my question then becomes, what's next for that? How do you continue to build on this momentum? We've seen a lot of change in the last 12 months, but looking ahead to the next 6 or 12 months, what's that next change that you look to bring to Harmlin or that you see the industry kind of moving to?
Well, I think it's to continue to support other races and ethnicities. Let's do the same thing and take what we've learned through our work with Juneteenth, continue it and make it better and do it year over year over year. Keep our eyes open, not only with what our employees are specifically saying of different backgrounds, but also what the world is saying, you know, of support of different backgrounds. And then, you know, within, of course, reason, since, you know, we still have to do our jobs, you know, make sure that we are applying that to our work, to our celebrations, to our recognition, so on and so forth, and just, you know, continue to compound on each thing in a positive direction.
And so building on that, you know, we're promoting diversity, we're promoting inclusion. The company's invested in D&I training. We just had Ideal training this week, which was a really eye-opening experience from my standpoint. So, you know, that ongoing learning, I think, is a big part of it. You hit on, you know, we have Pride Month, we have a month for AAPI, we have Hispanic Heritage Month coming up, we have Juneteenth. So we're bringing in these cultural moments. I guess my question to you is if you could share from your own experience, how do we continue to learn about each other on an ongoing basis, right? So it's not just progressing from one milestone to another. It's this celebration of the people who are here. It's celebrating, sharing what makes us human. Again, what are some of those things that, you know, you bring here that you think make the company better for it? And how do we continue to surface those in the day-to-day?
Well, I think in something similar that Ritesh and Ruben have said is just, you know, keeping your ears open, you know, and staying humble. That's what I've done throughout my life. That's what I try to do in my job and what I'll continue to do is that no one will ever be perfect. Not saying that there aren't certain people that should be reprimanded for their actions, but there are certain things that you may just not know. You're not going to know it. And it's important to listen to how other people feel, look into other people's situations, even if you don't think it applies to you, and try to put yourself in their perspective, or at least try to relate it to a perspective. I know as a minority, I try to relate it to my perspective. If I heard slurs or insults, how I would feel, and then thinking about how another person of another race or ethnicity or religion or sex would feel. Trying just simply to understand that. And understanding that, realizing that, and taking it in and I guess inserting it into your life and every aspect of your life will help you not only to understand everybody else, but also you'll see benefits in whatever you're trying to do. You know, you have a better connection with your employees. They feel more comfortable around you. You feel more comfortable around them, or I should say your coworkers. And in return, you can perform better. So not only are you just doing the natural, moral, correct thing, but also on top of that, you have the ability to do what you're doing at a much more efficient rate in a much better way. So I think keeping your ears open, staying humble, understanding that you may not know everything, and be willing to listen to other people and use empathy is very important, at least from my perspective and in the workspace and outside of it.
I think your focus on empathy is a big part, again, of what kind of is built in our culture. So Harmlin is small company roots. It was a very family-oriented, family-owned and operated company. And even as we've grown several sizes larger here, we still have a lot of that hallmarks. Again, this podcast is one example of how we just have these conversations internally. So I'm wondering if there's a moment, you know, you're relatively new to the industry, relatively new to the company. Was there a moment in time or an interaction with someone at Harmlin that really inspired you to take the lead with Shade and Cares to make this part of your contribution to the company?
You know, with the events of this past year and, you know, the I don't want to say revolution necessary, but the uprising to kind of, you know, combat like police brutality and issues that African Americans have gone through. And Harmon's, you know, recognition of that and deciding to recognize that was important to me. And I thought, you know, the first Juneteenth thing that someone provided, the first Juneteenth email and education and that someone provided was good. And just the general initiative that Harmon has taken, I think, made me realize that this is a place that's different than other places. I didn't expect that. Not necessarily to say that they didn't care, but I expected, you know, a company just to stay away from something like that. You know, like, why get into something that is truthfully sensitive, you know, sensitive because we're going through a lot. But nonetheless sensitive. I expected a company not to do that. So to see them to do that kind of led me to trying to work on this when I had the opportunity, and other people doing their part, helping out people from different backgrounds, people that may not have as much invested into it because they're an African American, but nonetheless still want to do their part to help out. I think that really inspired me to kind of get involved in this, and it's been really, really joyous to do so.
Thank you, Brooke, Ruben, and Tess, for taking time to talk about your experiences. Special thanks to Ryan for moderating this important episode. Media Impressions is hosted by Greg Ebeck and produced by Gwen Lufkin, Emily Wolf, Chelsea Fletcher, and me, Jared Rudenstein. Harmland Media thanks you for listening to Episode 8 of Media Impressions.